Okay, so my name is Tim Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square on the 15th of August 2009. The time's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Can I get you first to tell us your name, age, and where you come from?
Hi, my name's Ian Webber. I'm 27, and I come from Crayford, which is London Borough of Bexley.
Thank you. Can you tell us what you first found out about the One Another Project?
I can't remember exactly. I think it was probably something on BBC or media or something like that. But it was definitely before it was a live project. I signed up on the website, probably off the back of one of the other things. It might have been its connection to the Fourth Plinth, actually, which made me hear about it. But yeah, I saw it. It sounded like it could be interesting, especially the idea of being part of something which is unlikely to ever happen again. So I quite like the idea of being part of history, so I signed up, and bizarrely I got chosen. It's kind of interesting, when I actually got the email to say that I'd been chosen, I was fairly sure I'd already had one that month saying that I hadn't been chosen for the month in question, but I was actually away camping on the Malvern Hills, which is out near Cheltenham. And yeah, I was in a tent and just checking my email, and then there it was, an email from the One Another Project saying you've been chosen. It was quite a shock, to be honest, because when you sign up for things like that, you just do it on the off chance. You don't really have any, you don't really think you're going to get chosen. It's just one of those things, but I was, and here I am.
And you said you heard about it because it was part of the Fourth Plinth Project. Yeah, can you tell us about the significance of that?
I think that was probably where I am. I've heard about it because I've known of the Fourth Plinth and how it's the only plinth in Trafalgar Square where the statue actually changes. Once I was chosen for the One Another Project, I did a little more research and read about why that was and how they'd run out of money to put a proper statue on it at the time and everything. But it's I think it's the Fourth Plinth Project in itself is it's a nice idea that it's not static. There is still something that can change according to public interest, or just to give the wider audience a different look at more modern art or different aspects from different artists, rather than just the standard statues that adorn London generally.
And what would you say then, what was your particular motivation or inspiration for putting your name forward to become a part of a project like that?
As I said, I think largely I do like the idea of being immortalised. No one likes to think of how when they shuffle off this mortal coil, there'll be nothing left of them behind. And by being part of this, in some small way, there will be something of me around for forever, probably. That's quite a powerful thought and quite a powerful emotive reason. I also just like the idea, I quite like heights in the sense that, well, I like heights when I know I can't fall off. And the whole aspect of being higher than everyone else and being able to see Trafalgar Square from a different vantage point also appeals quite a lot. Being fairly local throughout my childhood and adult life, I've been walking through Trafalgar Square or visiting it, so I know it quite well. I remember it when you were actually allowed to feed the pigeons, and I think I have actually fed the pigeons here when I was a lot younger. So it'll be interesting to see what it looks like from the point of view of one of the statues being up there looking down on the fountains and everything, and just seeing the world go by, really. It's a shame on one level that my time slot has fallen in with the free running event, because obviously it won't be as much of a natural experience as it would have been, but it means I get to watch the free running, I suppose, so there's always good things. But yeah, it's for me, I think, yeah, the overwhelming thing is just becoming part of history, part of a living work of art. And doesn't like to get their 15 minutes, or in this case, an hour's worth of fame.
Well, what other, so you mentioned kind of your memories of Trafalgar Square kind of as a kid feeding the pigeons. What other memories and significance have you got for Trafalgar Square?
That particular instant, I've vaguely remember. I was quite young, and my mum and myself had come up on the train just for the morning, really. I have brothers and sisters, and for some reason they must have been at school and I wasn't. So I must have been fairly young, and we came up on the train. I don't even think there was actually any major reason for the trip, but we came up to Trafalgar Square, and we actually bought some seed off the guy who used to sell it here. And there was me, and I can't imagine I was much older than 6 or 7 if I was that age, and I was there holding the seed and got completely mobbed by about 1,000 pigeons, or that's what it felt like when I was that age, and I just couldn't hold the weight, and the seed went everywhere. But it was a good day, and I enjoyed it. And in more recent years, I've come up here just to climb on the lions and things like you're not meant to, and all the stuff that you shouldn't do. It's just for me, because of where I lived with my parents, which is in Barnhurst, the Charing Cross line into London has always been the way that I get here. So whenever I used to come up to London, Trafalgar Square was like the first port of call. Even if I was going to Leicester Square, you'd always look back and see Nelson's Column or anything and look back at Trafalgar Square. For me, it's one of the things that I associate mostly with London. That and Tower Bridge, because you can see that from the train when you come up. But it's just a nice place. And ever since it's been, the top edges have been pedestrianised, so it's not as busy. It's even a nicer place to be. I mean, I suppose when I first came here, it must have still been the traffic island in the middle of all the traffic. But it also seems to be both calm and busy at the same time. Although there tends to be lots of people around Trafalgar Square, it tends to be people aren't in a hurry, because if they were, then they wouldn't be trying to cut across the square. They would have gone just round the edges and stuff. So it's just a nice place to congregate, really. And obviously with fountains and water, that always helps create a nice atmosphere around somewhere. And I personally am quite happy the pigeons have gone, in the sense that the place is a lot less befouled, should we say. I'm sure the pigeons found other places to live.
What is it you're going to be doing up on the plinth for the hour?
Right, well, I'm it's a bit of a mismatch, really. I had various different ideas, so I've incorporated bits and pieces into it. Throwback to my childhood, one Christmas I got a pogo stick, and it took me a fair while to get any good at it, but I got to the point where I could just pogo indefinitely, really. When I heard about the project and thought I needed something to do, for some reason that came to mind, probably because it was a bit unique, and it gave me a chance to relive my childhood to a certain extent. So I bought a pogo stick, and I've been practicing for the last 2 or 3 weeks, building up my time. I can pogo for 15 minutes non-stop. I then tend to die of exhaustion afterwards, but some of the odd looks I've been getting while I've been practicing. I work in Alpington, and I've been, in my lunch break, I've been pogoing, and some of the odd looks I've been getting have been quite amusing. But once I explain what I'm doing, then people seem to think it's a fairly interesting idea. With any luck, I won't disappoint them. When I got here and looked at the plinth, it was like, well, that's quite a lot higher than I thought. It's going to be the height that's the issue. I can stay within like a 2 or 3 square foot area, so I can do that. It'll just be doing that on the elevation that'll be the issue. Because I knew there was no chance that I could pogo for an entire hour, I'm not fit enough. I've also put together a flip book which has got various different bits and pieces in. Some of them are endorsing charities that people have asked me to do. Some are just my grumpy thoughts about people and what they can and can't do when it comes to driving. Various bits and pieces. The idea being that once I get tired of pogoing, I'll go through the flip book and then once I've got to the end of that, then I'll probably go back to the pogoing. I've also brought a camera because I think everyone should. You don't get to be up at that height in Trafalgar Square ever, so I've brought a camera to take a few pics, but nothing professional, just for my own mementos really. But I've got friends from Canada that should be tuning in to watch, so with any luck the streaming will be working hopefully, so that they'll be able to see that. And some of them said that they'll text me while I'm up there, so I'll be checking those as well and responding either by text or if or I'll just talk back to them. But yeah, it should be an interesting experience. I suppose one good thing with the free running thing going on is that although there'll be a fair few people around, they won't be looking at me, so less chance of hecklers. And it also meant that I could restrict people coming to the ones that I knew would cause me less trouble. So from that point of view, it should be quite good. But yeah, it's kind of funny, as it's got nearer the event, I've actually got more and more trepidatious about it. It's kind of funny. It's ever since I got the email saying I was going to be here, it's obviously been on my mind, and I've been doing things like obviously building up the pogoing, doing my usual thing, which is leaving it to the last minute to do the flip book and everything. I was finishing that off yesterday, but I didn't expect it to actually have that as much an effect on me as it has done leading up to it. But part of me will be happy once I'm there and doing it, and once it's done and I can look back on it. But it's like anything, I suppose, until you do it, it's the unknown that you're worried about, but I'm sure it'll all be fine.
And how would you describe the emotional journey? Kind of what emotions have you experienced as time has kind of got on?
It's gone from when I first got the thing, it was like, oh, that's brilliant, it's cool, and there was the initial excitement about it, and then there was obviously the contemplating what I wanted to do, what would be good and what I should do. There was a worrying stage when I decided what I wanted to do with regards to the pogoing, and I was having terrible trouble actually sourcing an adult pogo stick that I could use, which sounds really ridiculous when I say it, but that's what I decided I wanted to do, and I needed to get one. It's only really been in the last week that it's actually been something to worry about. Everything from making sure I get here on time to making sure that everything's ready. My girlfriend hasn't seen me much this week, which she's probably not all that best pleased about, but I need to get everything done to be ready for today. So I'm expecting that the excitement will hit in once again once I'm in the JCB cradle and being winched up to the plinth. But yeah, it's funny. I'm not really particularly an emotional person. It takes fairly substantial things to actually get a reaction out of me. But yeah, I'm feeling a little bit shaky. So yeah, it'll be good to see what I'm like when I get down after I've done my hour. I was reading through the book of thoughts out there that people have obviously filled out after they've done their hour. And it seems that one of the main themes is how quickly it goes, and how some people have felt really at home once they're there and they don't really want to leave. But I suppose that's the same with everything, isn't it? Once you've experienced something, especially when it's so unique as this, you probably wouldn't want to give it up that easily. But we have our hour and we're privileged to get that anyway. So yeah, but it's been good fun. It's been a good experience so far, and I don't doubt that it'll be a good experience by the end of it if I come out alive.
And a little bit about yourself. Tell us about how is it you spend your time? What is it you do for a living? What do you do in your spare time?
Well, for a living, I do something which is fairly boring. My job title is a data analyst, but basically I work at a college in London, and I look after all the data that relates to students and what courses they're doing and attendance and all that. And basically, when it boils down to it, the people, when you go to a college, all of the work that you do, all of the exams you take and everything else, it all comes down to pass, fail, or whatever grade, and that's submitted to the Learning Skills Council, and that's how you get funding. So we have to make sure that that's accurate, and that's basically what I do. I really fell into the job. At heart, before that, I was an IT technician, so I was more into fixing computers and stuff like that, and I still spend a lot of time doing that now. I spend far too much time watching television and things like that. The number of different series that I follow is just ridiculous. I don't really know how I find time to do it, but I do, and I could kill the BBC for running The Wire, because as I've set it to record, I know I shouldn't be staying up till 12:30 to watch it, but I still do. And for the last few months, because it's been going on for so long, it's like three nights of my life don't finish till like 12:30 because of it. But I think it's worth it. Lots of people wouldn't, but I don't go to the cinema as much as I like to. I used to go every Wednesday without fail, using the Orange Wednesday free ticket, but I haven't been as much. I would probably blame that on getting a flat, which needs a lot of work done on it, which I don't do, I just ignore, but also having a girlfriend, especially one that doesn't like horror films, which is fairly upsetting. But yeah, so now and again I do venture outside. I've got a couple of power kites, and I like kiting. It's a good way to relax, and it's a fairly good workout as well. You'd be surprised at how just controlling a kite, fighting against the wind, can really really tire you out, especially some of the bigger ones. But yeah, spend time with my friends as well. I've got a friend, Adam, who has built his own extension, and I've been helping him with that over last year. Anything to stop me from having to work my own flat, really. But yeah, apart from that, just standard everyday living, really. Go to work, etc. So yeah.
How's getting a flat kind of changed what you get up to and how you perceive what it is, you know, you spend?
Well, I was living with my parents before, and the flat I bought was fairly cheap because it needed a lot of work doing to it, which I knew at the time. Unfortunately, I was definitely looking at it through rose-tinted glasses. I overestimated myself massively about what I could achieve. Possibly part of that was Adam's fault, because he's very handy. So, the original idea was to move out once it was completed, but as my parents saw that I wasn't really doing any work, they started applying pressure, so I decided it was probably easier to just move out in the state that it is. So although it's a two-bedroom flat, currently, realistically, it's a bedsit with the bathroom's nice, that works, and I've got internet and cable, but I don't have a kitchen or anything like that, or a front room, so my entire life is basically my bedroom, which is interesting. You'd have thought that being there and living in not much space and everything would really give you some, you would really think that you would want to sort it out and get it so that the rest of the flat was livable, but unfortunately I haven't really had the drive to do it. I've nearly had it for 2 years and it's still not finished, much to various people's annoyance, including my girlfriend Claire, because she's waiting to move in once it's finished. But then maybe that's why it's taking so long, who knows. I mean, obviously once your other half moves in, that's the end of your freedom, so to speak. Not that I'm doing anything bad, but it's quite nice to be able to just watch TV when you want, stay up as late as you want, etc. It isn't the first time I've lived away from home. Part of what I'll do on the plinth is you'll see that I'll put out a fairly large Canadian flag. From 2005 to 2006, I spent a year in Canada on a working holiday visa, and that was my first real getaway. the job that I'd been doing previously, which was where I was working as IT technician, that job was outsourced, so I was made redundant. I hadn't been to university, so I thought it was a prime time to take some of that money and go abroad. And I'd already made friends in Canada through the internet, and I'd visited them a few times, so I decided that it was time to go and experience life elsewhere. And I'm glad I did it. It was a good experience. It was very interesting how the person that you are when you're at home can differ quite substantially when you get to recreate yourself elsewhere. No one there knows you or any of your history. You're just who you present at the time. And it was quite interesting going over there. I mean, I'm fairly controlling in the sense that I don't tend to put myself out there too much. And the whole idea of going somewhere where I knew some people, but I didn't have anywhere to work or anything like that. And I had to sort all that out when I got there. First time living away from home. So I also had to do cooking, cleaning and stuff as well. It was really good experience. And for people that either don't go to uni or don't go on a gap year or something like that, I would definitely recommend doing something like that when you're young enough to do it and you haven't got any of the problems or ties like family or mortgage or anything like that that can hold you back. But yeah, it was definitely a good time.
And what things would you say are most important to you then at the moment in your life?
Obviously, relationship with my girlfriend's very important to me, and where that's going. Once I met her, it's kind of, I know where my life is going now. It's kind of mapped out. Sometimes the fact that it's as mapped out as it is actually is a bad thing, and it does feel restrictive. But that's now where my future lies, and everything from finishing the flat, her moving in, and then what happens after that, maybe marriage, maybe buying a house together, children, and then that's where it's going. Generally, my philosophy is I like an easy life, really. I try not to create too much drama. I try to keep things fairly straightforward. But I see my family quite a lot. I'm not a real family person in the sense that there are people that are a lot more closer to their family than I am, but we get along. I think we get on better now I don't live there, and much better now I'm not a teenager, but I think that goes without saying generally. As I said, I spend far too much time watching TV, and to be brutally honest, that is actually still quite important to me, the stories that I follow and the series and things, which, I mean, it's fairly sad that someone of my age, 27, still religiously watches Neighbours, to the point even when I was away in Canada, before I left, what with being an IT technician, I had a computer set up in my parents' house which would record Neighbours, compress it, capture it, so that I could then download it from Canada and still keep up to date. And it actually turned out that I, due to recording errors when I got back, I actually missed less Neighbours when I was in Canada than I did when I got back, which is fairly ridiculous. But I don't know. The other thing, as with lots of people these days, is hoping that I still have job security, really. The idea of ending up unemployed in this climate isn't something that appeals, really. Not that it would appeal to anyone, but yeah. So staying on the right side of everyone at work and everything going well there would be good. In September is the college's enrollment period, and that's when my department gets the busiest. So at the moment, once the One Another project is done and dusted, that'll probably be where my thoughts will be lingering, and hoping that everything goes to plan then. But it generally does. Well, whatever happens will happen, and if there's pieces that need to be picked up, we'll just pick them up as we can. But yeah, it'll be good to be having another holiday, basically, once that's all over. Holidays banned in September for that reason. So I like to holiday more October, November time. Things are less busy. The weather doesn't seem to be too hot. I'm fairly fair, so I burn quite a lot, especially when I go abroad. So I try to avoid that as much as possible, really. As you'll see by my nice pasty tan when I get up on the plinth.
And what hopes and fears do you have for the future? Maybe you've touched on some of the issues already.
I suppose a major fear is I'm getting older, and if this relationship doesn't work out with my current girlfriend, where that would leave me at that point. I would expect that's fairly normal for most people, and even now, even people that have got married and things like that, it seems that people that have been together a long time break up fairly easily now as well. So not knowing, really. I suppose that's something that everyone has to contend with, but not really knowing where your future's going is always a bit, it makes you a bit apprehensive to a certain extent. It would be very boring, but it would make life somewhat easier if there was like a little book and it's like, right, so this is what's going to happen, and you could plan ahead. I tend to overthink situations and already have various ideas of where things can go. So generally I don't get caught out, but there are various things that can happen. But I mean, fear is just your standard things, really. I mean, good health, not ending up with anything life-threatening, or anyone I know shuffling off their mortal coil too quickly. But yeah, I would say just your standard everyday normal thoughts and fears for living, really. Seeing where it takes me. But yeah, I really need to get that flat finished, because realistically that's what's holding up the rest of my life, so to speak. Once that's done, then we can move on and find out where everything's going to end up, probably with a wedding that's going to cost me more money than I would like. Unfortunately, Claire doesn't really see that. Rather than spending like $8,000 or $9,000 on a wedding, I'd much rather have an expensive home cinema. But unfortunately, I think that's just the difference between girls and boys, really. Once you don't have the religious aspect of a wedding, which I don't, it just seems to be an expensive party, which is fine, but I'd rather have a cheap party and a nice home cinema system. But there you go. I think that's not a battle I'm going to win, so I'm just going to have to put up with that, really.
Thank you. Finally, to go back just to the project one last time, can you tell us what kind of reaction and impact you like your part of, and also the project as a whole, to have?
Well, I'd quite like it if when I was people saw me up there and I was picked out as some celebrity, and then the rest of my life became far more interesting. Realistically, that's not going to happen, but as long as people find me entertaining, don't take any of the stuff that I've put on my flipbook too seriously. I would like to just be remembered as the idiot that went up there and pogoed on a big plinth, really, because let's face it, it's a fairly odd thing to elect to do with my time. I specifically, I did mention a couple of charities. There were a fair amount of people that wanted me to just make it all about specific charities, and I didn't really want to do that, because that would have been doing it for them. And for me, really, this hour is about me and what I want to do. So, yeah, I just want to, if I make someone smile, then that's a bonus, really. That would be a nice thing to have achieved, really. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you very much.